Well, good afternoon to you. 306 here, News Talk 105.9 WMAL, where we are making sense of the news. Coming up today, joining us at 3:30, the tax man cometh. That's Grover Norquist will be here. He's really the no tax man. He'll be with us at 3:30. We chat with him about this gargantuan tax and spending package the Democrats are ramming through the United States Congress. Jorge Ventura joins us at 4 o'clock. He's got a new documentary out on the way that the cartels have established a true foothold in the United States of America. Scary stuff, real reporting. Laurel Duggan is here from the Daily Caller. She'll join us at 4:30 as the transgender activists have begun to publish studies showing that to be transgender is totally normal and totally fine. It's not a social contagion. Don't believe everything you've heard. And Kurt Schlichter will be with us at 5:30. Never want to miss that guy. And you can join us today at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. I hope you do. How hard are you going to vote in November? How hard are you going to walk into that ballot box and blast through that ballot? Pretty hard, right? Get the exercise montage rolling? I mean, it's desperately needed. I hope you are working out. At least get that hand ready for whatever voting you have to do on Election Day, because these people deserve to lose their jobs, all of them. In the Inflation Reduction Act? What words am I allowed to use right now? We're limited? Okay, I'll try and constrain them. The Inflation Reduction Act, a bill that will exacerbate inflation, make you poorer, and drive your taxes up. Yeah, thanks for that, guys. Thanks a lot for that. Joe Manchin, you big stinking sellout. Oh, I want to stop inflation. Liar. Liar. Kyrsten Sinema, big sellout. She doesn't want to stop inflation. She gets involved when she needs to protect private equity funds and drive up taxes on you. How's that sound? The private equity guys, they get a great break. You get screwed. Thanks, Kyrsten Sinema. Thank you for that. And if you make less than $400,000 a year, then you're getting hit. You're getting hit here in so many different ways. Coming up, we've got Grover Norquist. We're going to talk about this because we're going to get into the tax component to all of it. How big tax hikes are coming for everybody. It's not just over $400,000 a year. Everybody is going to pay more. Do you want me to run down some of this list with you? I know, it's sad news, but let's be honest about this. It's not out of the House yet. Maybe we can browbeat some of these Democrats into submission in the House. We'll see. Unlikely. Ready? $12 billion crude oil tax. A $12 billion crude oil tax. What is that going to do for you? That's right. It'll drive up your costs on everything that is derived from crude oil. Gas is already averaging more than $4 a gallon across the country. Democrats have dropped a 16.4 cents per barrel tax on crude oil in this package. And imported petroleum products. That would be literally everything. Petroleum products. So how is that going to be paid for? Consumers. You will pay more. I will pay more. Thanks to all of this. That is a tax hike on us. Making less than $400,000 a year. How about that? Democrats have also pegged this oil tax increase to inflation. That means as the inflation gets worse, so does the tax, which does what? It makes the inflation worse. You like that vicious cycle? You ready for that? $1.2 billion coal tax. Coal tax, which means household energy bills are about to go up. Thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act. They want to increase the tax rate on coal from subsurface mining from 50 cents per ton to $1.10 per ton, while the tax rate on coal from surface mining would increase from 25 cents per ton to 55 cents per ton. In other words, any energy that's derived from coal will be more expensive, and it will be passed on to consumers. This is how it works. It always works this way. The corporate income tax, they want to impose a 15% corporate alternative minimum tax on the financial statements from American businesses that report $1 billion in profits for the past 3 years. Which, you know, you look at that and you go, okay, that's the biggest corporations. Yes, but they have the biggest corporations have the most consumers. And so where does this go? Where does that tax increase go? Well, it goes to three places, right? It's paid for three different ways. One of them, increased costs on you directly. The cost of the goods you buy from America's biggest corporations, go up. What about employees? Employees have to take pay cuts. What are the big line items in any business's budget? Real estate and employees, payroll. Those are the two biggies, aren't they? You got to cut payroll. How do you cut payroll? Fire people or pay people less? Those are the options. So if you're going to make the expenses work, you're either going to screw your employees or you're going to screw your customers. You're going to pass on those expenses that the federal government is now imposing. Does that decrease inflation? You feeling the inflation decrease? You feel that? No, it increases it. It makes things more expensive. Just preposterous what DC is doing, sticking a finger in your eye. Let's see here. Also, the way that this is all structured, it's designed to protect private equity guys again, the private equity funds. If they're invested in a bunch of different businesses and it all adds up to over $1 billion, before this weekend, they would have had to pay the higher taxes as well. But guess what? They don't because of Kyrsten Sinema. You know what she did? She came in and said, no, you can break up all those individual companies and each of them would be considered a separate company for the purposes of taxation. They won't have to face these new tax increases. That's interesting. So what is that going to do? Well, it's going to place a ceiling on where companies can grow in the United States without jumping into a new tax threshold, right? So it disincentivizes growth from American companies. And it creates an incentive structure for companies with huge amounts of holdings to instead break them up into a shell game in order to hide assets in various organizations in order to subvert the tax code, in order to avoid the higher taxation. So this, the meddling here is destructive. And again, it gets pushed through. It gets pushed through. $124 billion stock tax, that'll hit your nest egg. Let's see here. 95% federal excise tax on American pharmaceutical manufacturers. A $52 billion income tax hike on mid-sized and family businesses. Senate Democrats passed an amendment to the bill before final passage that created a two-year extension on loss limitations of non-corporate taxpayers if the amount of the loss is in excess of $250,000, $500,000 in the case of a joint return. The provision was scheduled to sunset in 2026 under current law. This provision would raise taxes on a manufacturer, retailer, or other capital-intensive business that sees significant business losses in any year due to the cost of wages, rent, new equipment, inventory, and interest payments. Again, Grover Norquist coming up on this. I want to focus on another piece of it, though, which is the IRS hiring bonanza that is set to take place should Democrats get this thing through the House. You know, all signs point to they will. They're set to hire 87,000 new IRS agents. Now, the White House is out this weekend trying to insist that that's not the case. No, they're not. It won't be 87,000 agents. There won't be 87,000 people auditing Americans. Really? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? The claim that the White House is trying to hide behind is, no, we're just hiring new employees, 87,000 new IRS employees. Are they all the janitor? Are they all the people who, you know, are they all IT? Are they all going to work in HR? What are you talking about? 87,000 new people. The reason they need 87,000 people are to be agents. That's the goal. What is it going to cost? $80 billion. $80 billion. That's the bill on this thing. To hire 87,000 new agents. Does that sound like inflation reduction to you? No, it does not. In fact, that number is so big, as Joe Simonson at the Washington Free Beacon points out. Now, everybody else has now stolen this talking point. It's totally true, but he reported on it days ago. He did the math. Democrats poised to make the IRS larger than the Pentagon, the State Department, the FBI, and the Border Patrol combined. All of those agencies. The IRS will be bigger than all of them combined. Now, what does that do to you? Well, it increases the likeliness that you will be audited, that you will have your life rifled through by the IRS. And now Democrats are perfectly comfortable with this because, you know, the same party that's constantly saying that, you know, the cops shouldn't hassle people. Like, nobody did anything wrong. You don't have any reason to stop this person. On and on and on. When it comes to the IRS, they're perfectly happy to have you hassled. They're perfectly happy to have your finances rifled through. And they'll say, well, if you haven't done anything wrong, then what's the problem? Maryland Senator Ben Cardin on with Mike Emanuel this weekend. Listen to this.
There. Can you understand how 87,000 new IRS agents would scare the heck out of millions of Americans?
Well, millions of Americans aren't going to be impacted by that other than getting better service from the IRS, having their telephone answered, getting the questions they need in order.
It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. Like, are you serious? It's going to be phenomenal. You'll have somebody at your beck and call at any moment, anytime you need to speak to the IRS. I don't know about you, but I'm not really eager to speak to the IRS most of the time. I begrudgingly communicate with the IRS, and I do it once a year, spend far too much time on it. And then when you're filing your taxes, you ever try and file your taxes with one of these pieces of software where you're like clicking through and it's asking you, you know, just like, did you make any extra income this year? What kind of income did you make? And then all of a sudden you start wondering as you're answering the questions, am I sharing something that I shouldn't be sharing? Is this the right way to classify this? Am I doing the right thing? And you could pay a tax accountant a lot of money to help you out, to try and help you navigate this. And you're relying on their expertise, their judgment. But still, you still have to make judgment calls. So a lot of Americans, they go through this process. They're like, how do I consider that thing that happened then? Or maybe you've got a complicated situation. Here's one that I've been through, where you sell a house and then you're building a house and you're waiting to move into it. Then you do, and you're not sure which tax year things go into and how the mortgage works and the interest from that. So it's complicated. The tax system is needlessly complicated. And so is it possible for Americans in good faith to screw it up? Yeah, totally. It happens all the time. Should you have your life brought to a screeching halt because of that? Definitely not. And so if you hire 87,000 new people, the average person's life, in terms of like who are they going to focus on? Is it going to be the super rich? Is it going to be middle class guys? You know the answer to that. It's middle class guys. It's people that make less than $10 million. It's people that make less than $1 million. People make the less than, where's that number again? $400,000. It's dominant. Did you know that in 2020, the single biggest category of new audits by the IRS was among people who make between $1 and $25,000? That's where all the audits are. Between $1 and $25,000, that's where 313,000 new audits were launched in 2020 against that income category. And as you go up in income categories, guess what? The audits go down. They go down big time. Let's see. Under 50,000, 25,000 to 50,000, 147,000 audits. 50,000 to 75,000, 122,000 audits. 75 to 100,000, 76,000 audits. Let's see here. When we get to $1 million, from $1 million to $5 million, it's 42,000 audits. You see, the numbers are dropping off. Now, you may say, well, maybe that there are fewer millionaires, perhaps. But boy, it looks like all the time that the IRS is spending is on people who are nowhere near $1 million. That's where they're spending all of their time and attention. So Ben Cardin out there saying, it's not, no problem here at all. If you didn't do anything wrong, you got nothing to worry about. Where have we heard that before?
The IRS, having their telephone answered, getting the questions they need in order to comply with our tax laws. The auditing is going to be focused on those of high income, the large corporations, etc. So there's no reason to be fearful. And if you have paid your taxes and if you comply with our laws, you should want to make sure everyone else does that.
Yeah, you should want this. Did this ever happen before? Have we ever heard the government make that rationale for literally anything? How about, I don't know, the Patriot Act? If you're not doing anything wrong, you know? If you're not doing anything wrong, what do you have to worry about? You're not a terrorist. America's spy apparatus won't be rifling through your business. And then what do we find out? Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it is. Rifling through Americans' business like crazy. I thought this was for terrorists. Well, not anymore. You understand how these things go. This is something Bernie Sanders has never understood, this concept. Bernie Sanders will attack large concentrations of power in the United States and suggest that they are working against you. And sometimes he's right, sometimes he's wrong. But his answer is always to assume more power under the federal government. What does that do? It's corrupting. It's destructive. You will centralize power. You will centralize corruption. And you will run roughshod over normal people. You will destroy their liberties. That's why socialism is a dead end. And it is literally a dead end in the sense that it's got a body count. It's a horrific outcome. He misses that. So this is yet again 87,000 new agents, the IRS. 87,000. You think that's going to yield something good for the United States or something bad? This is an obvious equation. And you've got the United States Senate slamming it through reconciliation and blowing past the filibuster. It's totally destructive. And of course, Joe Manchin's fully on board. I'm trying to stop inflation, but he's doing nothing of the sort. All right. Richard's in Bristow. He's on line one. Hello, Richard. You're on the Vince Colonnade Show.
Hey, Vince, thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
just
sir.
To illustrate your point, if only half of the 87,000 are actually agents, that's still more new IRS agents than exist today in the uniformed United States Coast Guard worldwide. That's still an enormous number of new agents, even if it's half. I'll tell you what this is. This is stop and frisk tax enforcement. They're going to be shaking everybody down, regardless of your tax income, Uncle,
yeah.
Because the Democrats want your damn money.
Yep, they'll be rifling through your pockets, whether they are owed that money or not. They'll get their hands on it. Little civil asset forfeiture for the American public. Thank you, Richard. Good point. Coming up next, the tax man, the guy who hates taxes, Grover Norquist, joins us. We'll dig in with him. Hey there. Good afternoon to you. 3:34 here on Newstalk 105.9 WMAL, where we are making sense of the news. Jorge Ventura is here at 4 o'clock. He's been investigating the cartels nationwide and the way they've gained a foothold in America. He's got the details ahead. Laurel Duggan is with us at 4:30. She's a culture reporter for the Daily Caller, and she's taking a closer look at a transgender study which claims that it's not a social fad. She dug into it, and, well, you won't be surprised by what she found. And then Kurt Schlichter is here at 5:30. Always good to talk to him and to talk to you at 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL.
Guarantee, a promise. I've never broken my word. Anyone making less than $400,000 will not see one single penny in their tax raise.
I guarantee you, give you my word as a Biden, no one making less than $400,000 a year will see a penny in their taxes raised. No one. No one. Who makes less than $400,000 a year will pay a penny more.
I'm going to do without asking anyone who makes under $400,000 a year to pay one more penny in taxes.
Anyone making less than $400,000 a year won't pay a penny more.
Give me a word as a Biden. You have nothing to worry about if you make less than $400,000.
Nobody making under $400,000 would have their taxes raised, period.
That is President Joe Biden over a long period of time making that promise over and over and over again. Let's go to Grover Norquist now. He's the president of Americans for Tax Reform. Grover, great to have you with us, sir.
Good to be with you.
And how good is Joe's word as a Biden on not raising taxes?
It's about as good as Bill Clinton's was when he promised that only the top 1% or 2% would pay higher taxes, and then immediately went after an energy tax for all Americans. And about as good as our friend Obama's, who promised he would never raise taxes on anyone who earned less than, I think it was $250,000 a year. First bill he passed was a tax on cigarettes, average wage of somebody who smoked cigarettes, $40,000 a year. And there were eight taxes in Obamacare, which hit middle-income people. So what Biden learned was you can tell that lie and the press will never hold you accountable when you break it. And he broke it in a way that Evel Knievel needs and would recognize being broken many times.
Right.
He has broken that in this new bill.
Yeah, it seems that the Democrats are relying on a very patronizing notion that the public is too stupid to realize that they are paying a lot more for everything because of the taxes that Joe Biden and his friends are imposing on our economy.
Well, some of it is, there's a tax in this bill on crude oil. You drive a car,
yes,
that will affect you. There's a tax in there on coal. I don't know, you heat your house at night in most places, chances are that's a tax on you. There's a tax on natural gas production. So any of those things, those three kinds of energy, you will be paying higher taxes. And between the three of them, that's every single American.
Right.
He has a corporate, yeah.
But what the media do here, the support of the Joe Biden supportive media, and what the White House insists is, well, but you're not going to see any like sort of percentage change on what you pay in taxes when you file those taxes at the end of the year. So therefore, no tax increase. But what you're referencing here, Grover, is this is indirect, but it very directly hits the wallets of American citizens.
Yes, and he didn't say income tax. He said all taxes, any taxes, as did Clinton, as did Obama. They all said, and then they would list off all the various taxes they weren't going to raise. They just literally are breaking their word. The one thing where they try and be clever is they count the corporate income tax as being paid by a guy named Mr. General Motors, and not by, oh, the people who buy General Motors cars and have to pay more because it's got higher taxes. I mean, when you build a car, inside that car is the cost of labor, people's paychecks, the cost of borrowing money, interest, and the cost of metal and glass and all the raw materials, the cost of the regulatory burdens, everything you have to do in order to make the regulatory gods happy, and taxes, sales taxes, income taxes, Social Security taxes of every worker are paid by General Motors. Half of it gets paid by General Motors, half of it gets paid by workers. Except General Motors would be perfectly happy to pay the worker that money, but they get it taken by the government. So it comes out of the worker's pay. So the whole point of the corporate income tax is to hide who's paying it, to make it to make people think somebody other than you as a worker. In general, studies agree that 70% of the corporate income tax is paid by workers in lower wages or fewer workers. Because if you make $1 million, if the government takes $1 million from General Motors, what does General Motors do? 70% of what they do is pay people. Well, so you pay them less and you have to raise your cost of a car. And so people, if you're a consumer, you pay the corporate income tax. If you are a worker, you pay the corporate income tax. And Biden thinks he's fooling you by saying that there's some person named General Motors somewhere who's writing checks.
It's amazing. I question, I don't know if you can assess this, but the politics of all of this, they call it the Inflation Reduction Act. There's no evidence to support that. In fact, all the evidence points in the opposite direction. This will only exacerbate inflation. It's a massive tax and spending bill to the tune of at least $740 billion. And they're passing it just months ahead of midterms. Will this rescue Democrats, do you think, Grover?
Well, I think the challenge is that in the Senate, every single senator was the tie-breaking vote for this collection of taxes and spending. Every single one was the critical key vote, determinant vote. Sometimes, you know, if something passes 60-40, how mad can I be at one of the guys if, you know, there were nine other people who made it happen? But every one of the 50, if they had walked away and said, I can't vote for this, this is ridiculous, it wouldn't have happened. So they are personally responsible for the 87,000 IRS agents that will be out in fishing expeditions going after every small businessman in the country. And again, the IRS says, we're going after small businesses, independent businesses. They tell you right up front what they're going to do with the money. It's President Biden who says, oh, only rich people are going to get gone at. Not rich people are already gone over, as are large corporations. What the IRS says they've never had a chance to really go after are smaller businesses. So that's what they'll be doing with the money. They tell you in their press releases. And we have a real challenge with all this additional IRS money going out to hire more people. They're going to be auditing people. Of course, you don't need a reason to audit somebody. It could be political. It could be we don't like you. It could be we don't like your industry. And there's no defense against it. And the IRS stacks the rules in their own favor. Watch that as one of the massive tax increases on smaller businesses.
Well, it wasn't that long ago. Remember there was a flurry of coverage that both Comey and Andrew McCabe, both James Comey and Andrew McCabe, had popped for a special audit by the IRS. And there was a flurry of coverage suggesting that this was Trump. Trump had assigned them for some sort of IRS investigation. This is unseemly. And they were very concerned about the abuse of power by the IRS when it involved one of their own. And by the way, there was no evidence to support any abuse of power. The reason they seemed to be examined was because they had gone from a steady paycheck to a very lucrative post-federal government career, which triggered those audits, it's believed. But still, they're very concerned about it when it was James Comey's life on the line.
They were. When Obama, when Obama targeted all of the small groups that set up the Tea Party movement,
yes,
and decided to not let them incorporate. So they couldn't set up incorporation, which would allow them to have a bank account and hire somebody part-time. So all those groups died because thousands that wanted to set up a little operation so they could get going were told, no, everybody could throw $20 in the basket, but you can't put together an organization like that that lasts. And by 2012, when the president ran for re-election, he had destroyed a political movement that swept the House and in 2010, and he needed to kill it, and he used the IRS to kill it. This is the political machine that will be used to destroy the enemies of the modern Democratic Party and also to fund the modern Democratic Party. 100% of the IRS unions' money sent to party committees goes to the Democratic Party and to their committees, 100%. They also give a lot of money to candidates. I think a bunch of money has gone to Kelly, the Democratic senator candidate in Arizona. Hassan, the Democratic Senate candidate in New Hampshire, got money from them. Now, if you have 87,000 more bureaucrats, how many will be driven to pay union dues? How much of that money will go back to the modern Democratic Party? It's a recycling of your tax dollars to the modern Democratic Party and its candidates. And they want to argue that this is good government when we know that half of the IRS agents, according to the IRS itself, 53%, don't even go to work. The reason when they don't answer your phone call, they're at home not answering your phone call. They're not in the office not answering your phone call. 10 to 20% of phone calls into the IRS asking for help or
yes,
trying to explain something don't get answered. 10 to 20 get answered. 80% to 90% don't get answered. The IRS's own numbers, and we're going to reward that kind of behavior with more money for fishing expeditions into the privacy of the American people.
Right.
And every single Democrat just voted in the Senate just voted for that, and they alone could have stopped this. Every earmark in this, there's billions of dollars in there, some of it for hiring people to walk around the city and see where the tree canopy is insufficient, where there's not enough, trees sheltering people from getting sun. You could go to Google Maps and Google Pictures,
yeah,
and get the answer in a matter of moments for free. But they'll be hiring, Democratic precinct workers, perhaps, for a great deal of money to quote unquote do this green work, which is just political work.
Yeah, it's totally corrupt. And I'm glad you brought up the role that these unions play, these government unions play in funding Democratic politics, because that's talk about a self-licking ice cream cone. That thing, they just keep on growing the size of these agencies and then growing the union coffers and then handing it right back to these Democrats. It's an important point. On the issue of Joe Manchin, Manchin's been claiming now for the last year or so, I'm not going to support any more spending packages. I can't drive up inflation. Can you help us understand who Joe Manchin is?
Well, I believed him when he said he was going to draw the line. In 2010, he said that he would never allow a tax increase during a recession. In 2010, also on TV in the same debate, when he was running for Senate, he said, I can't look the people of West Virginia in the eye and pass a tax increase unless I can say that all of their money is being spent wisely. Well, unless he believes that the $2 trillion that was wasted over the last year was spent wisely and giving us inflation, they're not spending it wisely. And we are technically, according to the dictionary, if not according to Biden, in a recession. And he voted for things. He voted for a tax on coal. The West Virginia Coal Association denounced him. Okay, this is not a guy who's working for the people of West Virginia. One presumes he has a job lined up somewhere. It'll be interesting to see what it is. But this is, he voted against West Virginia. He voted against what he said. He lied his way into office. He said he was going to do one thing, and he did the opposite. And again, he's running around saying he wanted reform of permitting, which was something that Trump and the Republicans worked on for 4 years, and the Democrats refused to help, so it never got, some executive orders got done, but legislation didn't get done, which would say, you know, you can't make somebody wait 7 years to fill out permits and get permits from a dozen different agencies in order to widen the highway by one lane. You know, you got to check, make sure the caribou can cross the road if there were caribou here in D.C. All sorts of ridiculous permitting things. You could dramatically reduce the cost of all roads and bridges getting fixed and expanded, which good for him. He said he was for it. But you know what? If he'd said that permitting reform has to be in the bill, and if it's not in the bill, you don't have my support, he'd have gotten it. He chose not to have that in the bill. And when he was on TV the other weekend, he was going around talking about the permitting as if it was part of the legislation. No, he was told, we'll funk about it in the future after you do everything we want and forget about it. It isn't happening. And he knows that he's being lied to. And he tells the people of West Virginia and the people of the United States on TV, you know, we're going to do the permitting next. No, they're not. And he knows it. And if he really thought it was important, if he really cared, he could have said, put it in the bill or you have nothing. They would have put it in the bill.
Yeah. It's just remarkable and a sad event for the United States is, the least capable among us are going to get hardest hit by all of this. Grover Norquist, thank you very much. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
President of Americans for Tax Reform. Some breaking news for you coming up in just moments as we say goodbye to one of the stars of Grease, 350. Some breaking news. Olivia Newton-John has passed away at the age of 73 years old. You know her, of course, from Grease. She was a four-time Grammy winner. She had 5 number one hits, another 10 top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100. Lots of success in her entertainment career. She's been fighting metastatic breast cancer for some time. And according to TMZ, which I believe broke this news today, they say a source close to Olivia told them that, quote, after a 30-year cancer journey, she lost her battle to metastatic breast cancer. Who is it that had goodness gracious. It may have been Norm MacDonald who had this line about fighting cancer. He said you don't lose to cancer. Because when you die, the cancer dies with you. So he said, you fight it to a draw. That's what he said. The late Norm MacDonald. And Olivia Newton-John, yes, has passed away. And it's just, you know, sad. It's always sad to see these names. You see a big name like this means a lot to a lot of people. Grease, such a huge hit through the years. So many people showing it to their kids today. Really an amazing thing. An amazing thing. So we say goodbye to Olivia Newton-John. More details on that, I'm sure, coming up. And stay with WMAL, as always, for breaking news. You've got Joe Biden out there today as well. He's on the road. He was traveling today. I guess he was capable of getting out there after testing positive for COVID for 500 days in a row. Here's how he described that bill that Grover Norquist and I were just chatting about, and said that, you know, it's going to take care of so many things, including things that he doesn't even know yet.
What we're doing today, what we passed yesterday, helping take care of everything from health care to God knows what else.
God knows what else. That sounds very Pelosi-esque. You know, we got to pass the bill to find out what's in it. Joe Biden saying that bill's going to cover everything from health care to God knows what else. Well, it might be worth looking into it before they pass it out of the United States House. Coming up, we've got Jorge Ventura joining us. He's got a brand new documentary on the way that the cartels have established operations in the United States of America. And they've been able to get away with it for far too long. The details ahead.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.